You're about to listen to a sermon from New City Church of LA. If you'd like more information about New City Church or to download more free audio or video sermons, please visit us on the web at www.newcitychurchla.com. And now from downtown LA, here's this week's sermon.
Good morning, everybody. We are in the middle of a series called A Prayerful Life. And the goal of the series is to help us experience a prayerful life, a consistent, deeper, and a broader prayer life. And today's sermon topic is going to be on Immanuel prayer. Immanuel prayer is a way to pray in which we see that God is with us, in the present, in our past, and even in our future. It's about seeing Jesus through our prayers. It really could revolutionize your life, and it has radically changed my life. And it is simple but profound. This form of prayer can particularly help us heal of our deep emotional wounds. And in preparing for this, I've been praying that I would the Holy Spirit would allow us to learn this in a way that is so clear that the penny will drop and that you will see and you will practice and you will begin the journey of healing in your life. And so putting this in the context of emotional pain, I want to start out talking about the problem of emotional pain, as many of us carry emotional pain in our hearts. Sometimes these things come because of physical issues. Many of you may be experiencing severe depression or postpartum depression or can't figure out what's going on. There may be a physical or chemical cause in which we need to seek medical care and therapy. But it can also be because of a relational breakdown, a heartache from a broken relationship, that relationship that you thought would work out but ended up ending. And the heartache is sometimes too much to bear. And there's a sense of rejection, there's a sense of bitterness and distance and numbness. And even when you try to sleep, you can't help but to feel that pain in your heart that will not go away. It's not just about the relationship, the brokenness of the relationship, but it gets wrapped up with issues of self-worth, respect, the validation, loneliness, and we go for a spin. It could also be because of offensive or perverse word or action. Someone who is supposed to love us, abandoned us, or offended us, or even abused us. That pain comes from the source of that pain and how it works is really complicated. It resides deep in our soul. It's especially difficult when the perpetrator was our parents. Many of us had fathers who were absent from our lives physically or emotionally. They were just far off. We grew up craving their approval, but not getting it. Not around to affirm us, love us, or be there for us. There were words of disappointment that sometimes we heard from them that wounded our soul very deeply. It really doesn't matter whether we deserved it, provoked it or not, it still hurts. And it continues to hurt in our soul. We carry around some painful memories from childhood, and maybe it has to do with getting bullied or getting rejected by someone or being told that we won't amount to much. But these perverse words have crushed our spirit. And sometimes we carry around some sort of moral pain. We did something wrong, or someone did something wrong to us, and that pain just stays deep in our soul, untouched. It seems like that part of our soul just got frozen in time. Maybe it's a pain caused by guilt. Maybe it's something that you did that can't even talk about with other people, or maybe something that you thought you did that you feel guilty about. Now, the question is, how do we respond to these emotional pain, hurts, and wounds? What do we do about it? Here's some wrong ways to respond. Some of us try to deny it or hide it. It seems like a good solution at the time, but oftentimes what happens is that it just pops up into the present unexpectedly. For example, when we've been hurt or betrayed by someone relationally and we repressed it very deeply, we go on with our life. It's okay, but it pops up in a present relationship. We sometimes have a tremendous fear of rejection, a tremendous fear of commitment. We're afraid to enter into a relationship or commit to one. We have a hard time trusting people. And our relationship, our present relationship or the next relationship, is wondering what's really going on in your life. Why are you like that? Sometimes we can't understand why we do the things that we do. Some of us are workaholics in quest for that approval that we never got from our parents. It's like that hurt that never went away, and we spend our lives trying to make it up. Some of us deal with anger issues that have roots in past hurts and pain. And maybe we said to ourselves, I am never, ever going to allow someone to do that to me again. And that comes back in a form of anger and hate and distance and distrust. And some of us grow up with alcoholic parents or angry parents. And we tiptoed around to make sure that we don't do anything to provoke their anger. And that tendency continues to show up in our present life. We do everything possible to please everyone and keep things under control, and we never talk about the elephant in the room. The reality is that we can't just hide or deny our past hurts and pains, because these emotional pains are a part of who we are. We can't detach from ourselves. So hiding or denying our pain does not work. Some of us try to numb our pain by medicating ourselves with alcohol, drugs. But sometimes it's stuff like just movies and eating or keeping ourselves busy or just sleeping. And I know some of you that's how things got started. And that's how you lasted. I know for some of us, we start with alcohol as an experiment, but later on it turns into something more than that. It turns into a means of escape from pain in our lives. It's a way of numbing our sorrow. It's a way of hiding our problem. We may feel distracted, and in that distraction find a moment of happiness. Of course, these things end up being destructive. And we often go on a vicious cycle that continues to destroy everything else in our lives. So just trying to numb our pain doesn't work either. So some of us try to get back at them. You know, revenge, anger, hatred, bitterness, it rots our spirit. While there is a sense of justice that go along with this feeling, we actually feel good about this. Yeah, I want this to be righted. But what really happens is that we replay that pain over and over again in our mind. We reduce the one who wronged us into this one-dimensional evil person, and we deprive that person of humanity. And in so doing, we deprive ourselves of happiness. There's no happiness in vengeance, in anger, in hatred, bitterness, and resentment. So this approach doesn't work either. So what's the right way to respond? How should we respond to our emotional hurts, pains, and wounds? We have to bring it to Jesus. We have to surrender our pain to Jesus. But you knew I was going to say that because, you know, I'm a Christian and we preach Jesus all the time. But see, the real question is, how do you do that? How do you bring it to Jesus so he can heal our pain? That's the real question. And what I want to do today is to give you some practical ways to bring your pain to Jesus so that you can go on a journey of healing. And Emmanuel prayer is a powerful way to do that. So Emmanuel means God with us. That's what the word means. It means that we believe that God is with us now. He is with us in the past, and he will always be with us in the future. And he wants to be with us. The whole story of the Bible is God's desire to be with us, to be present with us. I talked about this in detail a couple of weeks ago when we talked about practicing the presence of God. But how do you see that Jesus is with you? How? I mean, we can't see him physically, right? So how do we actually see that Jesus is with us? Through our imagination. Yeah, imagination. I know for many of us, we think of imagination not as a reality, but, you know, going into the fantasy world. But actually, we can use our imagination to live in a truer reality than where we live. Or we can actually use imagination to live in the fantasy world. Let me explain. We know that God is with us, right? When we open our physical eyes, we don't see that he's with us. We don't. But the reality that is more real than the physical reality is that he is with us, right? That's the true reality than the physical reality that we live in. So to get ourselves to live in that truer reality means that we have to imagine with our mind that Jesus is with us. Imagination leads us to a truer reality. And I know some of you, it feels weird to think of imagination as a means to a truer reality. But the Bible actually talks about this. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 3. You guys are not getting that. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7 to 18. But anyway, the first service got it really quickly, but it took a little bit of a... Let's go to verse 7. Now, if the ministry that brought us death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of his glory, transitory though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? I love this passage, by the way. The ministry of the law that came through the tablets. The ministry of the law was, it came through the tablet. The ministry of the Spirit came through the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. This came in glory. We're going to sing later on, show us your glory, just like Moses saw your glory. Show us your glory. But you know what? How much more glorious is the ministry in the Spirit? Ministry the Spirit gives us. And he goes on, verse 9. If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? Living by the law leads us to condemnation, guilt, shame. But the ministry of the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ is what he has done for us. And he brings us righteousness through his grace, through what he has done for us. For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory that which lasts? Amen. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Amen. We're not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. So when the Moses came down came down after receiving the Ten Commandments, his face glowed so much that they put a veil around him. But that was a fading glory. So even as the veil was on him, beyond the veil, the glory was fading in his face. But their minds were made dull for this day. The same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their heart. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So when you come to the Lord through the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ, not by what you have done through the old covenant, but by the new covenant of the blood and broken body through the cross, what he has done, and we are reckoned righteous because of what he has done for us, not by what we do ourselves. And as we come to this, the veil is taken away. We can see the glory of God. And then he goes on to say, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit is, there is freedom. There is freedom because we have been embraced and loved. And we didn't have to earn it. He brought us into his presence by his love and grace. And therefore, there is freedom. And then verse 18 is the key. He says this. And we all who with unveiled faces. Now we face God face to face. Unveiled faces. Contemplate the Lord's glory. We contemplate the Lord's glory. Are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Let's take this last verse apart a little bit. It says, as we contemplate the Lord's glory. Several translations actually use the word as we behold. And some translations says, as we see, behold, contemplate the Lord's glory as we see that with unveiled faces, one-on-one, God to us, without hindrance, we are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory. That's what he says right here. The bottom line is this. Do you want to be transformed into the image that God has of you? Do you want to bear the fruit of the Spirit? Do you want to be formed into Christ's likeness? Do you want to be transformed into the image with ever-increasing glory in your life? You know how you do that? How does that happen? How does healing happen? See, because when you experience and be transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, you're going to experience healing in your life. You're going to experience joy and love in your life. How does this happen to us? This passage says, by contemplating his glory, beholding the face of Jesus, in essence. Seeing Jesus. Now, how do we do that, though? Paul is not actually saying we need to physically see Jesus, because this is 2 Corinthians, years afterwards. So he is saying we need to see Jesus through the eyes of our mind, right? Eyes of our mind through imagination. We see Jesus through our imagination. So we're called to harness the power of imagination, not to enter into the fantasy world of unreality, but to see the real world, the truer world in which Jesus is present every moment of our lives, even in the past, of course, in the present, and in the future as well. So let's talk about this a little bit further, dig in a little bit more. Let's talk about seeing Jesus in our past in a way that helps us heal from our emotional wounds. We need to bring all of ourselves to him, including our past. You know, in any relationship, this is what we do ordinarily. I remember as Grace and I were getting to know each other, we had these late night sessions in which we would just talk. And so much was about what happened to us in our past. So much was about pain and wounds and what we went through. And that's just a natural process of getting to know one another. When you get to know people, you open up to the past, good and bad. Past pain and memories are part of who you are. And you need to bring your whole self to God. We don't get to a deep relationship with people until you get to that late night session where you talk about your hurts and pains. And it's the same in our relationship with God. When we develop that relationship, God wants us to bring our past, hurts and pain, all the garbage, painful memories to him. That's what friendship is. And that's what intimacy with God is. Our relationship with God cannot be shallower than our friendship with some of our friends. The reality is that a great deal of who we are presently are influenced by who we were some of the root issues of current problems, maybe from past hurts and pains. And we talked about this earlier. Jesus wants all of us to come to him. Now, knowing that God loves us, even in the past, that he was present with us, even in our past, is the key to healing today. Now, I think it's important for all of us to practice Emmanuel prayer to help us see Jesus in our pain and hurts, that God is with us and God was with us. And I think we need to create time and place for God to heal us, for God to show his love to us. And practically, what I'm talking about is this. We need to go back to a time through prayer when we experience our hurts and pains and see that Jesus was there. You know, think about a moment in your life when you experience a wound, some emotional pain in your life. Go back to that memory. Imagine. Do you see Jesus there? Do you see Jesus there? Actually, for most of us, we don't see him there. We were alone. We were afraid. We were anxious. We were hurt. We cried by ourselves. We got angry by ourselves. But what we need to do is we need to use our faith. Faith is seeing the truer reality of what God sees. Faith and redeem that event. That's what faith is. Seeing Jesus in the event. We need to see that Jesus was there. That Jesus was weeping when you were hurt. That Jesus was embracing you as you were hurt. That Jesus was gently with you. And sometimes you say, I don't see Jesus, but and you, where were you when I was hurt? Where were you when this is going on? And you need to preach the gospel to yourself. Lord, I know you love me more than I can imagine, but Lord, I need to imagine your love for me. I can't just live in an intellectual knowledge that you love me. I need to experience your love. I need to experience your embrace, even in a moment of pain in my life. And I need to grasp the beauty of who you are. You know, there, in my experience, I can't really share the details of what I was, the wound that I was dealing with, because I don't think it's appropriate. But as God was taking me to that moment of pain, and as I thought about it, in the beginning, Jesus not there. I was just alone. I was just a kid. But when and I asked, Lord, I want to see your face. I believe that the true reality was that you were present, even in the moment of that pain. And I went back and said to the Lord in my prayer, and this is Emmanuel prayer, said, Lord, I want to see you with me. I want to see your face. I want to see your face. And I began to see Jesus just there. And he was weeping. He was weeping because of what I was going through, because of the pain that I was experiencing. And, you know, that began a process of healing from that pain. And so now, when I actually look back into that memory, it has been fixed to the truer reality that Emmanuel is the reality, that Jesus was with me even then, embracing me, loving me, weeping alongside of me. So when I saw that, it began a journey of healing, and it changed the way I look at my past, and it affected the way that past affects me in the present right now. You see, in some ways, healing is simply a matter of seeing Jesus. As we behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus, we become transformed. The scripture tells us, what we see is what we become. When I see God's love in every circumstances of my life, when I see God treating me with love and kindness, I develop a love for God and I am transformed. We need to see that he loved us. He called us by our name. Even when we are screwed up, even when we got pregnant, out of wedlock, even when we ran away from home, even when we fell into a vicious cycle of addiction, we need to see that in every moment, even when we were completely screwed up, Jesus loved us, embraced us, and was with us. We need to see that his heart was broken alongside of yours. He was crying next to you. We need to put every memory of hurt and pain under the lordship of Jesus Christ. This is the healing of emotional pain. You know, let me just give you a couple of practical thoughts about this Emmanuel prayer of healing our past emotional hurts and pains. First, sometimes we can't do this by ourselves. You know, sometimes it's just too many layers of pain that we've been calloused, and we need a coach. We need someone to help us dig into our pain, to help us see Jesus in it. And I think going to a counselor, especially a Christian counselor, that can help us dig into the layers of our pain and get to see the face of Jesus and the presence of Jesus in our lives. And we partner up with a counseling center called Sync Counseling. They're Christian counselors trained, and so it might be a good resource for some of you who are dealing with some trauma from the past that's still affecting you now. The second thought I had is that I think as we approach Emmanuel prayer, we have to come to a place of willingness. Come to a place of willingness. Sometimes we can't, you know, if we're just closed up, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to let go. I'm not going to forgive. If sometimes we're just not ready yet for God to touch us and redeem that past and heal us. And I would pray that, Lord, just continue to be with me. Let me get to know you a little bit better. You know, it's a relationship. A relationship with you and God, it's a developmental relationship. In any relationship, you don't just go from, like, hey, nice meeting you. Intimacy, you don't do that. It's a process of learning, trusting God. And so maybe part of it is just getting to know God in a context of community, through other people, through Bible studies, just learning, maybe even intellectually, who God is like. He is revealed through Jesus Christ. You can't just make up God. You have to know God as he himself revealed himself to us. So maybe it's taking some time. But as we get to that place where we think, Lord, I really need to deal with this. I really need to deal with this pain, this hurt, this trauma in my life. I think I love to just lie down on the ground, just as a sign of surrender to God. And I like listening to some music because it helps me focus and put me in a mood to just be close to God, be Emmanuel, God with us, just to invite him into the presence. And just, or some people like it completely silent. So it's up to you. But I like some mood, just like with my wife. You know, just when you go on a date, it's almost like a date. You're gonna spend time of intimacy with the Lord. And as you do so, just think about various different parts of your life and what Jesus is doing. You know, but start with gratitude and begin to hear what he's saying to you. It's not just you talking to God. You know, it's just not, you know, us petitioning, supplicating to God is a very important part of prayer, but that's not all of prayer. A lot of prayer is just listening and understanding that he is present with us. And then you can just ask God, there are some issues that I need to deal with. There's some garbage that I need to deal with in my life. Would you help me to see you in them? And then sometimes it's just like inviting, and one step leads to another. Your imagination almost takes over, and he guides you into a journey. And we introduce the Lord to a memory, to rework that memory with him in it. You know, sometimes the Lord often do not change the past. The past is what happened. But sometimes he reinterprets the past. And, you know, he can give us insight into it. Just like Joseph, I love what TC said for communion, Joseph. You meant it for evil. But effectively, he said, but God used it for good. It may be that in that moment of pain, seeing Jesus and saying, you know, I know this is painful, right? And this was done by evil. He acknowledges that. God didn't do this to you. It was done by evil. But God saying, I can use this for good. Would you walk with me? Would you continue to walk with me? I can use this for good. And maybe that's what he's saying. Even your addiction in a vicious cycle in which you slept in a gutter, God maybe say, I can use that for good. I can use that for good. And so as we see Jesus in our past, we will experience transformation into his image in ever-increasing glory. Amen? Second kind of way or to practice Emmanuel prayer is this. This is the simplest kind of Emmanuel prayer. You can just have a conversation with God with the eyes of your mind, using imagination, basically. I started to do this when I was in college because I have short attention span. So I had a hard time praying with my eyes closed and sitting down because my mind would just go into other places. So I went up to the roof of my dormitory. I lived in a 5-floor dormitory, and on the roof was flat. So I would go up there with my guitar strapped around me. I don't even play the guitar that well, but maybe I know about 10 chords. But I would walk around and going, Lord, you know, I would just make up songs and just talk to him. Because I think I heard from somebody that when the psalmist says, sing a new song unto the Lord, he actually means just make up a song and sing it to him. It's definitely new. No, maybe I'm copying it. Some, I don't know, but it was new to me. And so I would just like, and then I would just dance around, you know, and rain or shine. I would do this on a regular basis in the room. This was like me and God time. And then I would just pretend like God's talking to me. So Kevin, you know, and so I had operatic conversation with God through my D chord. But you know what? It brought my prayer life into the realm of God with us. His presence was very real. Imagination took me to a truer reality than I was able to experience of my own, trying to squeeze my eye and trying to just pray. And My spirituality became much more vibrant through that. Incidentally, so I was doing that all year, and around spring, so school year started in fall, right? Like spring, my room was on the 5th floor. I had my window open, and I heard these guys whisper on the roof. And it just dawned on me that the whole floor could hear me when I was doing that. All year long. They must have thought I was a nut. But anyway, I still do this, and this is part of my life because of my short attention span. And so I love to go out to the beach, Malibu in particular, and just talk to God. There's a spot that I love, and I just talk to him. I just walk around, talk to God, and then respond back in kind of imagination. And sometimes I feel like, whoa, that's really good. Siri, note that God said. I actually do that. I start taking notes on my iPhone as I'm talking to God. Why? Because he is with me, and I believe that he talks to me. And there is a truer reality than the physical reality that we live in. And so we need to tap into the realm of imagination to actually reach it. That's the reality. God could guide me. He can comfort me. I can live in his presence. Lastly, let me give you this another form of Emmanuel prayer. It's called Emmanuel journaling. A friend of mine named John Lobnow, whose mentor is a guy named Jim Wilder, wrote a book called A Joyful Journey, Listening to Emmanuel, that explains this in more detail. I highly recommend this book. It had a huge impact on me. Here, you do this through writing, through journaling. So you're praying through journaling. You start writing to God. Start with things that you're grateful for. So, Lord, I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful for that. And then you start writing from God's perspective. My dear child, and start responding to you. You start out with saying, with imagining what God might be saying. Go, I can see you. I can see you. Remember the story of Hagar in Genesis 16? Hagar was Abraham's kind of Sarah's slave girl who was given to Abraham to have a baby because they couldn't have a baby. But then when she got pregnant, Sarah got all jealous and started to mistreat Hagar, and Hagar led into the desert, and she cried out to the Lord, And the Lord answered. And this is what it says in verse 13 of chapter 16. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. You are the God who sees me. God sees us. God sees us even in our pain. He's not the cause of our pain, but he sees us in our pain. So write down what he sees. I see that you're anxious. From God's perspective, just journal that, right? I see that you're scared. I see that you're angry. Just go on wherever the Spirit leads you. I can hear you. You know, Ishmael, God told Hagar to name the son Ishmael, for the Lord has heard your misery. So I can hear you. The Lord hears us. So, you know, I can hear you yelling and screaming. I can hear you crying alone in darkness. I can hear you fighting. I can hear you judging yourself, condemning yourself. Whatever it is, just allow God to speak into what he might say to you, what he hears of you. And then talk about, then another phrase might be, this all comes from Joyful Journey. The third step would be, I can understand how hard this is for you. The Lord acknowledged Hagar's difficulty. And so the Lord is acknowledging your trauma, your pain, your difficulty, whatever you may be going through. And so allow the Lord to speak to you about your difficulty. Allow the Lord to comfort you. And then fifth step would be to begin to write, I am glad to be with you. And then allow the Spirit to continue. Because the Lord has been desiring to be with us since the creation of the world. That's why he created us. When we fell away, that's why he pursued us all throughout the Old Testament. In the New Testament, he became incarnate Jesus Christ. And now he has been given to us by the Spirit. And so he is glad to be with you. And you need to understand that and allow God's gladness to permeate into your life. So write that from God's perspective. And then lastly, I can do something about what you're going through. God might be saying, you know, I know you're going through these things, but I can do something about what you're going through. And he may have a solution for you. He may have a thought for you. He may have a direction for you. Maybe it's not about actually getting rid of it. Maybe it's knowing how to handle it. Whatever it is, you can hear from the Lord. Now, this process of Emmanuel journaling, I wrote it down in the Grow and Serve group homework and group guide, which is produced every week, and it's on the host team desk. And if you want to use it, you can just take one and go through these steps, and it gives you a little bit more explanation. And we're hoping that our Grow and Serve groups will experiment with Emmanuel journaling this week. John Lobnow, my friend's group, what he did was he a group of about six people got together on a regular basis for many years, and every week what they did was they spent about 30, 45 minutes doing Emmanuel journaling by themselves, but they're in a group, but they're all separated, and they would go through these six steps, and they wrote it down, they journal, and then they simply read what they wrote to one another. And this practice transformed this group, not only relationally, but there were healing. And there were some corrections, too, for one another. You know, because I know some of you are saying, how do you know you're not just making stuff up? You know, how do you know it's really God speaking to you? You know what my answer is? I don't know. You could be making stuff up. I could be making stuff up. Lobnow calls this the shalom check. He says we need to make sure that whatever we hear from the Lord is consistent with the revealed character of Jesus Christ. If it's not consistent with God as revealed in Jesus Christ, then it's not God speaking to you. You're just making stuff up. But if it's consistent, and maybe with others around you affirming, confirming, it adds some weight. But you have to take it with certain amount of salt. This is not, thus says the Lord, Kevin, and take it with Siri. You know, it's not that kind of an environment. It's just kind of intimacy. And as you get to know God more in this vibrant Emmanuel prayer relationship, you begin to recognize his voice more and more. In the beginning, you know, it's just like when you get to know anyone, somebody calls you on the phone before the days of, you know, caller ID. You know, sometimes you don't quite know who they are. But as you get to know them, you know who they are, right? So you begin to recognize the voice of God. You begin to recognize the tone of God and what he's saying. And it helps you build your relationship with God. It helps you see the face of God. It helps you behold the face of God. It helps you contemplate his glory so that we may be transformed into his image in ever-increasing glory. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. My goal in preaching this is not so that you'll know about this. I'm hoping and praying that you will experience God. Because intellectual knowledge of God is not going to transform you. But your experience of God will transform you. When you behold his glory, when you see his face in your past, in your present, even in your future, when you begin to see his face, transform you. So, Lord, Heavenly Father, I pray that we will not take this message as, oh, that's nice, but as something that moves us towards an Emmanuel life where you are with us. That, Lord, that we would use the power of imagination to reach a truer reality by faith, by the power of through the mind, oh Lord, help us to know that we live in the Spirit, that we are with you, oh Lord, that you are with us, oh Lord. Thank you, oh Lord. Amen. Amen.
That concludes this week's sermon from New City Church of LA. Remember, if you would like more, you can visit www.newcitychurchla.com to download both audio and video sermons at no cost. A sermon is posted every week. Thank you for listening.